Chapter 9. Going Public. A Man of Wealth and Fame. Options. When Mike Markela joined Jobs and Wozniak to turn their fledgling partnership into the Apple Computer Company in January 1977, they valued it at $5,309. Less than 4 years later, they decided it was time to take it public. It would become the most oversubscribed initial public offering since that of Ford Motors in 1956. By the end of December 1980, Apple would be valued at $1.79 billion. Yes, billion. In the process, it would make 300 people millionaires. Daniel Kottke was not one of them. He had been Jobs' soulmate in college, in India, at the All One Farm, and in the rental house they shared during the Chris Ann Brennan crisis. He joined Apple when it was headquartered in Jobs' garage, and he still worked there as an hourly employee. But he was not at a high enough level to be cut in on the stock options that were awarded before the IPO. I totally trusted Steve, and I assumed he would take care of me like I'd taken care of him, so I didn't push, said Kottke. The official reason he wasn't given stock options was that he was an hourly technician, not a salaried engineer, which was the cutoff level for options. Even so, he could have justifiably been given founder's stock, but Jobs decided not to. Steve is the opposite of loyal, according to Andy Hertzfeld, an early Apple engineer who has nevertheless remained friends with him. He's anti-loyal. He has to abandon the people he is close to. Kottke decided to press his case with Jobs by hovering outside his office and catching him to make a plea. But at each encounter, Jobs brushed him off. "What was really so difficult for me is that Steve never told me I wasn't eligible," recalled Kottke. "He owed me that as a friend. When I would ask him about stock, he would tell me I had to talk to my manager." Finally, almost 6 months after the IPO, Kottke worked up the courage to march into Jobs' office and try to hash out the issue. But when he got in to see him, Jobs was so cold that Kottke froze. "I just got choked up and began to cry and just couldn't talk to him," Kottke recalled. "Our friendship was all gone. It was so sad." Rod Holt, the engineer who had built the power supply, was getting a lot of options, and he tried to turn Jobs around. "We have to do something for your buddy Daniel," he said, and he suggested they each give him some of their own options. "Whatever you give him, I will match it," said Holt. Replied Jobs, "Okay, I will give him zero." Wozniak, not surprisingly, had the opposite attitude. Before the shares went public, he decided to sell, at a very low price, 2,000 of his options to 40 different mid-level employees. Most of his beneficiaries made enough to buy a home. Wozniak bought a dream home for himself and his new wife, but she soon divorced him and kept the house. He also later gave shares outright to employees he felt had been shortchanged, including Kottke, Fernandez, Wigginton, and Espinoza. Everyone loved Wozniak, all the more so after his generosity. But many also agreed with Jobs that he was awfully naive and childlike. A few months later, a United Way poster showing a destitute man went up on a company bulletin board. Someone scrawled on it, "Woz in 1990. Jobs was not naive. He had made sure his deal with Chris Ann Brennan was signed before the IPO occurred. Jobs was the public face of the IPO, and he helped choose the two investment banks handling it, the traditional Wall Street firm Morgan Stanley and the untraditional boutique firm Hambrecht and Quist in San Francisco. Steve was very irreverent toward the guys from Morgan Stanley, which was a pretty uptight firm in those days, recalled Bill Hambrecht. Morgan Stanley planned to price the offering at $18, even though it was obvious the shares would quickly shoot up. "Tell me what happens to this stock that we priced at 18," Jobs asked the bankers. "Don't you sell it to your good customers? If so, How can you charge me a 7% commission? Hambrecht recognized that there was a basic unfairness in the system, and he later went on to formulate the idea of a reverse auction to price shares before an IPO. Apple went public the morning of December 12, 1980. By then, the bankers had priced the stock at $22 a share. It went to $29 the first day. Jobs had come into the Hambrecht and Quist office just in time to watch the opening trades. At age 25, he was now worth $256 million.